Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you the first?
I think so. I just got here. I was rushing to get back. But I didn't hear any music, so I think so.
All right. Well, I'm going to step away for a couple of minutes, and then I'll be back. So
that would be to catch my breath and drink some water. Okay.
And I'll be back, but I'm leaving the recording going.
Well, I'll stay on.
Okay.
Has joined.
Good afternoon again.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Will you just join me in saying the Anabakoa? Anabakoa. Bedula chiminha. Tati. Terira. Alfitimo yutap sadi. Kabel rinat amcha sagbeinu tacharenu no ra kufresh ayin sentenun na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem Mem gimel dalet kaf shin. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkata ta Tedresh Saritah Kimmel. Hasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcham Nael Adata Ketkufet Tetnanayan. Yachid Gea Bamcha Pene Zofre Kedushata Yud Gimelamet Pezayan Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatia Katenu Yodea Talubot Shimkufal Sadiyutta. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper. So we're also connecting to the Ma meditation. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wah, Yud, Hey, Wah, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wah, Yud, Hey, Wah, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wah, Yud, Hey, Wah, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey. Yud hey wow, yud hey wow, hey yud, yud hey, yud hey wow, yud hey wow, hey. And since today is the 23rd day of Av, the meditation that we're doing, continuing our study of the discussions between the various tzaddikim about becoming first a mensch and then becoming holy. And the quotation, the Hebrew quotation, the adage, in a place where there are no men, strive to be a man. Which doesn't really make a lot of sense in English, but in Hebrew, the two words for man and men are different and have different connotations. The Rambam commented about this passage. The word strive, ishtadel, means wrestle with oneself. And also force yourself to acquire good qualities. As this might not be your natural inclination when the day comes. How much can you mensch? In the Talmud, in the section called Sanhedrin, chapter 4, section 5, it reads, Hashem minted all men from the mold of Adam. And not one is like another. Therefore, everyone is obligated to say, for my sake was the world created. One might ask, inasmuch as the Torah requires that a person be extremely humble, and Hashem's presence is repelled by ga'ava, by pride, isn't the statement, the world was created for me, very egotistic? The Hasidic masters said that a person should have two pockets. In one, he should have the statement, the world was created for me. And in the other, the statement, I am but dust and ashes. Gava is the feeling that one is superior to and more deserving than other people. The Chofetz Chaim was obviously aware that he knew the entire Torah. Else he would not have assumed the role of being a major authority on halakha, on the pathways or the laws of the Torah. Yet he was a paragon of humility. Hashem created the world for a purpose, and the mensch has the obligation to fulfill that purpose, saying, if I were the only human being in existence, I would have the awesome responsibility of fulfilling the purpose of creation, And as much there as there are other people, they share this awesome responsibility with me. But that does not detract from my own personal obligation. Thus, the world was created for me. Yet I must realize that I am but dust and ashes. And here is an action to contemplate and to do. Do you have these two statements in your pockets? If not, why not? Contemplate how both of these thoughts are unified. And let us connect to our handout in our class today, which is the Sefer Yetzirah. We will start with the L'shem Yehud. The class, if I am not mistaken, is Sefer Yetzirah class number 8. And you will find the Sefer Yetzirah landing pages on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 9. The second column from the left will open up the landing pages for the Sefer Yetzirah classes. Once that opens up, please scroll down to class number 8, which is actually Mishnah 5 in the Ramak version that we use, but other versions have it as the Mishnah 6.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. My handout says Sefer Yetzirah class 9, Mishnah 1.6. I have notes all over 8. And
okay. That's why I started it by saying I wasn't sure. So
yeah, that was the one that we missed last week, 9. We did 8 on 7/23, and I have pages of notes as well as the handout with
Got
the dates of 23. So we've had it.
All right. So it's going to be class number 9. And in this case, there's 9-1 and 9-2. So let's go with class 9-1 and see where we get.
Okay.
L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Udkilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu Le'akda L'shem Yudhe Bovavhe V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononehu Eser Sefirot Belima Midatan Eser Shein Lahem, so Neot Sofen Betachelaten, Betachetraten, the Sofen, Ashahaba, Eshora Bapa, Alat, Sheadon Yahidu, the ancient Elo, believe ne Ehad. Ma'ata so far. 10 sephirot of nothingness. Their end is embedded in their beginning, and their beginning in their end, like a flame in a burning coal. For the master is singular. He has no seconds. And before one, what do you count? When one reads the English translation of this Mishnah, one thinks that one understands this message. Yet there are truly deep aspects of this Mishnah that gets revealed using the tools of the Kabbalah. And this is what we will be doing in this class this week, We will demonstrate the various tools and how to use them, and by so doing, delve deeper into this Mishnah. Let's start with the surface level. By now, you should know what 10 Sefirot B'lima represents. That is, different levels of consciousness. We have been taught that there is no beginning and end in each one of them. Yet in the aggregate, there is a beginning called Keter and an end called Malchut. Now, this Mishnah says that the end is embedded in their beginning, and vice versa. What does this mean? What does embed mean? Does embed mean glued together, attached in some way, connected? What exactly is the meaning of embed, which is the Hebrew word ne'utz? Ne'utz has a shorish that means pierce, stab, or stick. These all mean just mean stuck together or connected. If the Keter is the beginning, in what way does the beginning pierce the end, which is Malchut? Let us look at the English meaning of these words. Keter means a crown, while Malchut means a kingdom. Can a kingdom be included in the crown? If we think of the crown metaphorically, rather than as a physical item, it helps us to begin to understand these two terms and how they are connected. The next phrase in the Mishnah gives us additional insight. Like a flame in its coal. The flame needs a source of fuel, yet the flame is the fire. The source or the coal is something totally different than a flame. Yet we can understand how the coal is connected to the flame. Take away the coal and the flame is no more. Take away the Keter and there is no Malchut. Why is that? Because the Keter sustains the Malchut. It feeds the Malchut. The Kabbalists teach that the Malchut and all that will eventually be revealed in the process of moving from the Keter to the Malchut is all included in the Keter. This is the meaning of the end is in the beginning. The vice versa is not exactly intuitive. How does the end shape the beginning? It really does not accept in the effect of the actions of a man. How is that possible? Because man is the beginning in the frame of reference of the thought of creation. Let's contemplate this bit. Thought is consciousness. Does thought have a beginning and an end? Where does thought come from? In man, the thought comes from outside of man. Therefore, it has a beginning. That moment when it is first recognized. When does a thought end? When the man starts to act on the thought? Therefore, the end of the thought can be considered the start or the keter of the actual action. If thought is potential, then action is the actual. The end is the beginning, is now clearly understood. The beginning is the end, is becoming clear, but it's not yet completely clear. If the thought is to create man, then the end is in the beginning, since the thought is the beginning, yet it is actually a thought that is the end, meaning man coming into being. Is this clear? What is the meaning of the master is singular? He has no second. In Genesis chapter 1, the Torah refers to the first day as day 1. Not the first day. The first implies that there are others. he has no second in this Mishnah, is saying the same thing. There is only one, not a first above another. Then why do we need to know that the master is singular? Singular implies different aspects that are on the same level. All of these aspects are unified so that from the inside, they act as one aspect. This is very difficult to understand. Our body has two arms. They act independently and unified at the same time. And this needs to be contemplated. Does anyone have any questions about what I've read? Your homework is to truly contemplate what I've read and evaluate for yourself. What do all of these things mean? They're different code words, but they have different meanings. And we're going to go forward with section 9.2, which is a different Mishnah. It's verse 1.7. Esther Sefi wrote, Belima Balum Picha Melach Aver Levcha Melachar Harveim Rat
has joined.
Leda Ber Vilevcha Lahar Har Shuv Lamakom Shelichka Neemar Etsevo. The translation. Then Sefi wrote of nothingness. Bridle your mouth from speaking and your heart from thinking. And if your heart runs, return to the place. It is therefore written, the chayot running and returning. Regarding this, a covenant was made.
Ground leaves.
I'm not sure what happened, but I was hearing a lot of conversation going on, so I muted everyone. If you unmute yourself to ask a question or make a comment, just press *6. And I am continuing with the translation of what was read in the Hebrew for this next Mishnah. Esther Sefi wrote, Blima, you should know what this means by now. Esther Sefi wrote, Blima, 10 Sefi wrote of nothingness, or 10 numbers. Without what? That's the literal translation. 10 levels of consciousness that are really one level of consciousness, a unified whole. Shut your mouth from speaking and your heart from contemplating. If your mouth runs to speak or your heart to contemplate, Jo Hamakom, return to the place. For thus it is said, the living creatures ran and returned. And again, this daber, this word, a brit, a covenant, is cut. Upon this daber, upon this word, a covenant is cut. Running and returning, we discussed on the, Hannah said, the 23rd of July. So if you didn't get it or you want to look up the recording, look for the date, the 23rd of July. Running and returning is a very much something that we need to contemplate. You get a thought. It's on your conscious level. Let's use as an example. I love apple pie. Where does that thought come from? It's on your conscious level now, but it didn't start on your conscious level. It started on your unconscious level. It came from somewhere outside of your physical body. Running and returning. The thought starts in your unconscious, runs to the conscious to be formed, to be evaluated, to be learned more about, to be planned. And then you return to the unconscious in order to modify what you have modified. This process of running to the conscious and returning to the unconscious, this is the process whereby plans and goals are evaluated and set. I'm continuing to with the reading where it says, look at the website at your leisure about Tehillah. Tehillah comes from the Chila zone animal, which is only in the Zebulun territory of the land of Israel. The secret was lost and has now been rediscovered. Tehillah is a color blue formed from a sea urchin, a sea animal, that lives along the coast of the land of Israel, but that land area is known as the land of Zebulun. The mitzvah of tzitzit, which is to tie strings at the four corners of any garment that has four corners. You wear a t-shirt that doesn't have four corners. But if you cut a slit in the two sides of the tzitzit, you create four corners in the garment. The mitzvah is to wear the strings of tzitzit on the four corners of a garment. But not all garments have tzitzit. Not all garments have four corners. One string of the four strings that make up the tzitzit, one of them is dyed tehillah, is dyed the blue color. So when you fold the strings in half, when you put them through a hole in each corner of the four-cornered garment, you have eight ends, because each string has two ends. So four strings has eight ends. And when you tie a knot or the series of knots in the four strings that have eight ends, you end up with 13 knots. And when you go to tie the tzitzit. That's just the physical tzitzit. But we're going deeper than the physical level. Up till now, it's just been a physical level discussion. Now we're going to go deeper. Each Mishnah is a halakha. And what does this mean? The Graha teaches that to not know sod, you cannot know halakha. Once you know sod, you will then understand the flow of halakha. Now, the flow is a significant word being translated here. It doesn't really come from the Mishnah itself, but it comes from the inherent hints built into the Mishnah. But when we speak of the flow, we're speaking of shefa, the dripping, drop by drop, of Hashem's goodness from the upper world into the physical world. That dripping is another way of referring to shefa. It's another way of referring to astrological influences. There is no fixed halakha. The halakha can only be relative. And this is a very important concept. Halakha gets translated incorrectly as law. Once you write the law down, it's no longer relative. Because you can read it and it's fixed. And you can evaluate it in one situation after another situation. The halakha is relative. It's not fixed. But that's not what Judaism has grown into. Judaism had an oral tradition and a written Torah. Judaism has the Torah. It is written. But there's an explanation and a growth waiting for somebody to interpret or explain or understand differently than others. The halakha, the oral tradition. But once it was written down, those explanations are cemented. Now, a great effort was made in the Talmud that when it was written down, that it was left in a flexible frame of reference, a flexible mode. But even so, the fact that it was written down makes it fixed, and it is not meant to be fixed. And that's what causes the mistakes that the religion makes vis-a-vis the spiritual understanding from Hashem. If there is no fixed halakha, then the halakha has to be relative. It has to be relative to the situation you're discussing. And relativity is a very important concept, as we know, as we've learned in our class on relativity. The meditation for today is either to use as a Shem Kadosh, remember what a holy name is? The Shem Kadosh can be the Mishnah itself, or this verse below, which is from Vayikra, chapter 26, verse 42. This is a unique verse since Jacob is spelled complete with a vav only in this one verse in the Tanakh. Use this, since Jacob, use this Shem Kadosh, this holy name, and the color Tehelet, which is the color of the life force energy, which the Chinese call Qi or Qi. Sometimes you'll see it spelled Qi rather than Chi. Remember, blessing only rests on what is concealed. And this is why running and returning is what you do, is you run to reveal it. And then once you've revealed a little bit more or a little deeper understanding or just more than was revealed before you, then you have to return, run back to the unconscious so that you can conceal the new revelation, because nothing can be revealed until it is concealed. So here is the verse. V'zachriti et Brit Yaakov, v'yaf et Brit Yitzhak, v'yaf et Brit Avraham, eskar v'haretz eskor. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The first letters of these words, Vav Aleph Bet, Aleph Bet Aleph. Bet Yud Aleph, Yud Vav Vav, Vav Aleph Aleph. With their vowels as expressed in the verse, become and it has a translation for these words. There are 15 letters, making 5 3-letter words. And dad, the Av. Father, Abba. The name of Hashem, the Yud Aleph. Yahweh, where? And here's a different sounds with the wav. Wow, hey, ah, be, ah, be, yo, ah, yo, wah, 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 ah, ah. The covenant referred to in the Mishnah may actually be an agreement reached between Abraham and the various races of angels. It is unknown at this time. If it is an agreement reached with the angels, what do you think that agreement might have been or might be? Remember the agreement between the parts that Abraham and Hashem reached together, in which the exile in Egypt was reached. Your homework, your additional homework, because I've already given you some homework, but your additional homework is to use these verses or these words as a repetitive phrase. Continue to say these sounds until you go into a meditation, a deep meditation, a sacred place. And you will see what you see, and you will bring back what you bring back. And this is the practice that you need to experience as you build your meditation. The sound is, again, with the wav sound. Does that sound eerily similar to something we do most evenings when we read the 72 names of God? It's exactly what we're doing with the 72 names when we sound, use the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel. Only in this case, we're saying each letter with the vowel that comes from the verse. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts? We have two more classes today, a deep Zohar class at 4:30. That's West Coast time. And our 7 o'clock class is going to be continuing the study we have begun for the Omer Devorah. The reason we're beginning and continuing that study is because we're going to be making changes. And the reason that you're connecting to these 5 words, these 15 letters, is that it's time to make changes. And that's what we will be studying tonight and tomorrow. If there are no questions, have a beautiful evening. Remind you, tomorrow we will have 2 classes. One is at 7 a.m. West Coast time, which we will continue our study of a particular psalm. And at 11 o'clock, we will have a study for the Shir HaShirim, where we will be evaluating what your spiritual work was this week versus last week. Shalom, shalom gadol to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, thank you.
Thank you.
A good class.
Lots of homework. But it's okay.